Morning. Hey, thanks for being on our team, serving with us. Did you have a good time at Hume?
It was amazing.
All right, good. Good, good, good. So, Joseph and his lovely wife got to go to Hume because I didn't go to Hume with my lovely wife, and he took our spot, so I'm glad you went. I stayed home with a sick baby, double ear infection. She's better now. I'm frantically looking through here, and I located them. They're here. All right, everyone doing well?
Yes.
Are you ready for fall?
Yes.
Man, it needs to be shorts and flip-flops and sweatshirts. Like, that's fall. I got an amen last service after I asked him for it. But you know what to do. Right? That's your cue to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Should we go start this over again? No, I'm just joking. Hey, we're going to test your knowledge of garages and shacks. I'm going to show you a picture. This is a picture of a shack. If you were here the first service, you got to keep the comments to yourself. No giving away the answer. But in this shack, in 1901, the beginnings of a company took place. Who said Harley-Davidson? That a boy. Harley-Davidson, 1901. 2 years later, they launched the company. And today, in 2017, had a total revenue of $5.6 billion. Harley is probably the most well-known motorcycle company. Let's try another one. This is another shack. Any guesses as to
Hewlett-Packard?
No. Any other ideas? Microsoft? No.
Apple?
No. Think family entertainment, cartoons, Anaheim,
Disney.
There we go. We got it. Beginning sketches of Alice in Wonderland were you know, designed, drawn. There we go. I'll get it. Don't worry. I'll get it. They were designed, drawn in 1923 and in 2017, total revenue of $55.1 billion. Two more garages for you, much more well known. This next garage, located in Bellevue, Washington, and Bellevue is right outside of which city? Seattle, which is the home of which company?
Starbucks.
Oh, and Amazon, yes, but this is Amazon. Total revenue in 2017, $177 billion. Last garage for you. I heard the answer before. Apple. This is where the Steves made their computers. And in 2017, $229 billion. You add those four companies up, and in 2017 they had a total revenue of nearly $500 billion. That's with a T, friends. Dollars. I share this with you for a couple of reasons. One is just to have a little fun and let you play a little game, and you recognize that small things grow. At the humble beginnings of Apple and Harley and Amazon and Apple, humble beginnings, small beginnings, were two to four to six to eight hands manufactured. It's going to be a long morning, friends. The two to four to six of these hands manufactured their goods and their services and created it in a garage and a shack, probably not much different than what you and I may have on our property. Small things grow. Intimate beginnings. Simple beginnings. But no matter the growth of those four companies, have had, they don't compare to something that compares to this. A mustard seed and yeast. See, Scripture tells us, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like mustard seed and yeast. And friends, Apple and Amazon have nothing on the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Nothing. Small things grow. Simple beginnings, humble beginnings, the birth of our Lord and Savior, not in a castle on a hill, but in a manger in a stable. This morning, we're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven. And you might be wondering, why are we talking about the kingdom of heaven when we're in the middle of this Engaged series, right? Because we want to be engaged as a church with our friends and with our family. We want to be people who are loving and filled with compassion, who are serving the world around us. We want to be active ingredients in the culture around us. And so, Mark, why are you talking about the kingdom of heaven when we should be talking about being engaged? Friends, I'm convinced that if we understand the kingdom of heaven, if we understand the words of Jesus, the ways of Jesus, the way in which he lived, that we will be engaged in such a way that is loving and honoring and reflective of a God who loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. So let's understand the kingdom of heaven. And let's understand together what that means for us to be a people and a church to be engaged with the world around us. You see, for there to be a kingdom, there must be a king. And so when we look at Scripture and the kingdom of heaven is referenced, it's talking about God and his rule and God and his reign and his lordship and his sovereign governance of all mankind and of all creation. And there's times in Scripture where Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And friends, it's here, it's now, it's present, but it's also yet to be. The kingdom of heaven is something that is already present, but not yet complete. So there's this idea that it's already, but not yet. And there's an explanation in your bulletin this morning about the kingdom. And I printed it out because I want you to see what the kingdom of heaven is. The kingdom can draw near to men. It can come, arrive, appear, be active. God can give the kingdom to men, but men do not give the kingdom to one another. Further, God can take the kingdom away from men, but men do not take it away from one another, although they can prevent others from entering it. Men can enter the kingdom, but they are never said to erect it or build it. Men can receive the kingdom, inherit it, and possess it, but they are never said to establish it. Men can reject the kingdom, receive it, enter it, but they cannot destroy it. They can look for it, pray for its coming, seek it, although they cannot bring it. Men may be in the kingdom. Men can do things for the sake of the kingdom, but they are not said to act upon the kingdom itself. Men can preach the kingdom, but only God can give it to men, the kingdom of heaven. Matthew wrote the book, his book, the gospel, to a group of people, the Jewish followers, who were expecting a king. They wanted this royal king, this man who would deliver them and protect them and care for them. And along came Jesus. And Matthew, through his writings, began to tell us that Jesus didn't arrive in the way that the Jews expected him to. But he is still their king, and he is our king. And so Jesus, through his words, and we see this through the writings of Matthew, a couple of times Jesus says, you have heard it said. And he goes on to quote an Old Testament law. And then he says, but I tell you, you have heard it said, but I tell you. Matthew and Jesus are beginning to reorient his audience to a new kingdom. A kingdom of humble service attitude. A kingdom where small things grow and reign. A kingdom based on the words of Jesus and the life that he modeled for us, which is not what his audience expected. So we turn to this passage in Matthew 13, and we begin to get this picture of what a kingdom of heaven is like. And friends, there are many descriptions to the kingdom of heaven, and this is two of them. We're going to take a look at three verses. Chapter 13, verse 31. He told him another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. In the kingdom of heaven, small things grow. The kingdom of heaven is not like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that was planted. And planted things grow. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that was planted. Had it just been like a mustard seed, it would have stayed small and would have had no impact. But in the kingdom of heaven, small things grow, and the kingdom has grown and grown and grown and grown. And it has a worldly impact. In the kingdom of heaven, small things grow. And I know we have a desire and a internal longing to go big sometimes and to make a big impact. And we do so because we can say if we go big, we'll be noticed and people will be drawn to us. And that's well and good, but the kingdom of heaven is small. And small in the kingdom of heaven, small things grow. And so what if instead of going big and large and making us totally attractive, what if we just resolve ourselves to do small things? And to do small things that have a kingdom impact. And so when you see your neighbor pull up with a bed of mulch in his truck, and you think, wow, man, it's 100 degrees outside. That's going to take a long time. Go grab your shovel, your wheelbarrow, and go cut that time in half and serve them. When you see balloons across the street because there's been a birth in the family, celebrate with them. Take them a gift. When you make a batch of cookies, make an extra. Take them next door. When your office coworker has got one of those looks in the morning at 8 o'clock meeting, and the deer in the headlights, and you know it's going to be a long time if they keep that attitude, encourage them. Reinforce that they got it. And switch that attitude with them. Because in the kingdom of heaven, small things grow. And those little things go a long way and they have kingdom impact. Not only do small things grow, but others will find rest. And this is the part that I just love about the kingdom of heaven. That others will find rest. They will seek us out and our actions will be contagious. The birds flock to the tree. They flock to the branch. They take up residence in the mustard seed and in the bush that grew. And they find rest. See, when we are people of compassion and love and empathy, when the ways of Jesus are present in our life and in our words, it will be contagious and other people will find rest. I have a little two-year-old little girl. She's got two speeds on and off. And she goes. And she goes and she goes and she'll hit the wall and she'll need to take a rest, but it's not sleep time. It's just rest time. And she'll find Heather or I and she'll climb up in our arms and she'll just relax and she'll give that big sigh of and she'll rest because she's in my arms or she's in Heather's arms. And then 5-10 minutes later, whoop, off she goes. But it's that moment of rest. It's that moment of just sitting and relaxing. And friends, when we are living a kingdom life, individually and corporately, others will find rest. It's one of the things I love about Sunrise Community Church. A year ago, when I was walking through the interview process, people were boasting about the hope and the healing that people found at this church. They were sharing story after story with me of how families and individuals showed up and they rested and they were made whole. What a great, amazing history. And friends, I can't think of a better thing to be known for going into the future. That this be a place where people can find rest and healing and wholeness. Because that's present in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, small things grow, others will find rest, and we must be worked in and worked through. Guys, this is the hardest part for me. I work at a church. I work for a global medical ministry that works with churches and individuals. When I'm on the road traveling, I'm meeting with a church, I'm meeting with fellow Christians. I'm around them all the time. That is what God has called me to do, is where I serve. But I look at this kingdom of heaven and it says we must be worked in and worked through. And then I look at the yeast and I think, the yeast has no effect if it stays in the jar. It can't have any effect on the flour and make bread and cause it to rise if I leave it in the jar. Yeast is an active ingredient. And it must be worked in and worked through. I must open the jar, put it in the flour, work it, mold it, form it, and get it ready to bake. And then let it do its job. Friends, it's easy to run from our culture around us. But Mark, have you seen the news? Yeah, I've seen it. I watch it. I have a teenager. I know how. Look, if I could take my 3 girls and my lovely wife and go spend the rest of my life in a shelter, I would be happy because I'm with my ladies and my girls and I got to include my dog. I would be one happy guy. But that's a retreat mentality. And yeast is active. And yeast changes its culture. And it has an effect. And in this instance, when it's talked about in Scripture, it's a good effect. Because in the kingdom of heaven, we must be worked in and we must be worked through. It is an active ingredient that changes and morphs the world around it. This is my friend Mike and Ruth. And Mike is one of my dear friends, and Ruth, their Harrisons, are a good family friends of Heather and I, and they have 3 amazing young daughters. And Mike currently pastors a church in the Dallas area, but before he pastored the church in the Dallas area, he pastored the church that Heather and I were a part of before we came to Sunrise. And about 6-7 years ago, I had a conversation with him, and he said, Mark, I don't know what to do. Abby, one of his daughters, is extremely gifted in soccer. She's really good. And he said, a couple of teams are after her. They want her to play competitive. But man, that's gonna put a big wrench in our family on Sundays. I'm the pastor. Ruth is in the worship team. You can see the effect that this would have. And he wasn't quite sure whether to commit to Sundays as a family and be there as a unit or to let her play. And ultimately, they decided to let her play. But they intentionally made the decision. They said, we're going to let her play, and we're going to spend the next 5-6 years around this group, this family, 10 to 12 other families, that we're going to be a light in their darkness. And we are going to intentionally serve and share the love of Christ. And he looked at me and he said, just this past week, because I called him and I asked him about it, he said, Mark, I've had numerous, countless opportunities to share God's love with these families that I never would have had as a pastor. And Mark, as a pastor, I'm called to make disciples and to share God's love. And if I'm always at church and never around people who need it and who can receive it, well, that's who I need to be with. And so they bought the pop-up for the girls to play, to sit under. They bought the bench so the girls could have a bench to sit on. They brought water and Gatorade to every game. And they served these families year after year after year. And when the coach lost his job, Mike began to take him out for coffee and began to talk to him, began to coach him, began to counsel him, help write his resume. And when Mike lost his job, when our church closed, the coach said, hey, I found out you lost your job. If there's anything I can do, I'm here for you. And Mike just said, yeah, okay, whatever. And was about to go on his way. And the coach stopped him and said, no, when I say whatever, I mean, if you need me to pay your mortgage, I'll pay your mortgage. That's how much I love you, Mike and Ruth and the Harrisons. Like, I'll pay your mortgage because you shouldn't have to leave and you shouldn't have to leave your house. And one of the other coaches was in some severe relational issues, and he called Mike for counseling. And I could sit here and I could tell you that over the past 6 or 7 years, I could go through countless stories where ministry took place, where love was shared, where compassion and empathy were employed, and where kingdom deposits were made in the hearts and the lives of those coaches and of those fathers and of those mothers, because Mike and Ruth understood what it meant to be worked in and worked through. Rick Warren shares an illustration about fish. And I love fish. And when I eat fish that spent its whole life in the ocean, it doesn't taste like salt. It tastes like fish. And that's a glorious thing. You see, friends, it's about insulation and not isolation. It's about insulation and not isolation. That fish can spend its whole life in ocean, in salt water, but yet it is insulated from that taste, and when you eat it, it tastes like fish. And that's what it is as Christ followers. In the world we live in the culture we find ourselves in, it is about insulation and not isolation. We must be worked in, and we must be worked through in the kingdom of heaven. And finally, in the kingdom of heaven, transformation takes place. Change is happening. Friends, let this be an encouragement to you that as you deposit small acts of kindness, of compassion into the hearts and the lives of your friends and your family, and you don't see anything, change is taking place. Because that is how the kingdom of heaven works. The yeast is working. The mustard seed is growing. Change takes place in the kingdom of heaven. I got one last story to tell with you, share with you. These two are particularly close to me. Can't you see the resemblance? That's my older sister, Joy. And Joy and Chris met at an early age. And Joy and I grew up in a family where Christ was always central to what we knew and what we did. Church was always a part of our lives. And Chris did not come up with that same upbringing. He was a little rough around the edges. But they met, they fell in love, they got married. And we would always have conversations about God and Christ and church and ministry at the dining room table or the kitchen table. And the active conversation would be going on, and Chris was just kind of silent. He wanted nothing to do with it. And he and I would discuss God and the Trinity. And he was curious, but he just wanted nothing to do with it. And there was anger and other issues that were prevalent in his heart and his life at the time. And if he were standing right here with you, he would say, yeah, that's right. But slowly but surely, kingdom deposits were made. Not just by our words, but by our actions. His four kids grew up and began to take ownership of their own faith and began to go across the world and serve. And he saw what Jesus can do to his children as Jesus transformed their lives in high school. And he just watched. And we had more conversation, right? We didn't ignore the reality of Christ in our hearts and our lives. We had conversations. We shared opportunities for him to receive Christ into his heart. And he just, no, not yet. And slowly but surely, the anger went away. He began to give back and became a generous person prior to his commitment to Christ. Because he's like, yeah, I should be doing good things. Yeah, I can be a part of that. And then one day, he has a conversation with his friend Chris, and Chris says, dude, it's about Jesus. And you're living for him, but he's not in your heart. And he's like, yeah, I know. And slowly, over the course of 20 years, change took place. Slowly but surely, through the lives of my sister and her kids and my parents and myself and all of their friends, they made kingdom deposits into his heart. And it came full circle 20 years later. And now he's the spiritual leader of their family. They have friends come over on a weekly basis. Friends who don't have a family. And he says, come be a part of my family because my Father welcomes you with open arms. Guys, that's the kingdom of heaven at work. In the kingdom of heaven, small things grow. Others find rest. We must be worked in and worked through. And change takes place. As I was reading this week and studying and meditating on this passage, I asked myself, the one thing that came back to me was like, huh. Like, what if this was our church strategy? What if this was our church growth strategy? God, where it's not about the church, but it's about you and pointing people to you and simply reflecting who you are and what you've done and following your words and following your ways. Because when we do that, when we live in the kingdom of heaven and we do small things, other people will be brought to it and it will be contagious. And together we will begin to shape culture and the world around us. And together change will take place and we will become image bearers of Christ, our Lord and Savior. And you see the progress and you see how it goes and it goes and it goes and it goes and it doesn't stop. That's how life is like in the kingdom of heaven. It starts small. Others find rest. We affect the culture and change around us. And change takes place. That's a great combination. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Son, who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you for his words. We thank you for his ways, the life that he modeled. And Lord God, we pray that as we engage the world around us, our friends, our family, those in our midst, our co-workers, Lord God, may we be image bearers of your kingdom, of your Son. And may we be clothed with love and compassion, gentleness, meekness, self-control, compassion and empathy. May we take on the image of your Son. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.